Welcome and good morning. Share a bit more extended welcome in a few minutes, but as we continue with the time of preludes, Trudy will lead us, play for us, I Know That My Redeemer Liveth. For anyone who might be here as a guest today, our practice during this time has been to not sing, just as a way of keeping one another safe. So we ask that you please listen along, silently meditate with the words as you see them on the screen, or hum as you go. We'll let Trudy play that for us now. And the slide should be there. They are. Welcome again. Today, as we know, is Eternity Sunday, the last Sunday in the church calendar before we enter into Advent. Thank you for your understanding as we changed plans for this service a bit at the last minute there. We knew it would be full. We wanted to make sure those who needed to be here, wanted to be here, could. So thank you for those willing to sit this out for that. To our guests today, family and friends, we extend a warm welcome. We wish it could be warmer, but I appreciate you coming along with the precautions we have in place here. Recognize that some friends and family may not be able to be here due to travel challenges or health concerns. Extend you greetings if you're watching along as well, along with anyone else who might be viewing the service today from home. Acknowledge that this is a significant service for this year. I know that because of the pandemic, many families haven't had opportunity to have a full memorial service, full funeral service. And so for some of you, this is as close as it's getting at this point. And so we wish God's blessing on you and pray that this is a meaningful time for you and family. I also want to acknowledge that taking pause as we do at this time of the year, we remember the toll that the pandemic has taken in general, and those who've lost their lives and families who've mourned losses through that. And so remembering all that as we do as well today. As case numbers continue to rise, it is sobering for us, and so we encourage you to take precautions, have you been doing, and especially to reach out to one another in these weeks. As we head into winter and people feeling more isolated, that connection is so important for us. Before the service, it was good to see the Sunday school decorating their Christmas tree. I don't know about you, but a lot of people I've been talking to are getting a bit of a head start on all of the Christmas traditions and routines. Maybe they usually wait for that first week of December to get the tree up, or the Christmas music playing, but for a lot of people, they've started already. I think it's because it's been a difficult year, and we need some warmth and brightness and joy, and we need something to look forward to. And so I've been feeling that way about Advent as well. I don't know about you, but I feel like I could really use Advent this year. I need that message, that reminder of light and hope. I need the story of God who loved the world so much, he sent Jesus to be born into it. And so eager to get there. We'll be there next Sunday, but for now we're here, gathered with that same hope of Jesus all the same, and united with all of God's saints, both here, at home, and in heaven as well. By means of announcements, many of you will have received the bulletin, but would simply note that next Sunday will be a senior service. And note as well that plans for a communion at home, that'll be included as part of the video that's put online, but also the mailings that are sent out. And then a reminder to bring in your MCC kit bags if you've not had opportunity to do so. We have a couple of weeks left for that. And if you're interested in that project, you can grab a couple bags if you've not done so already. As we continue on in our time of worship, I share these words from Psalm 95 as they're called to worship. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry lands. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock of his care. At this time, Trudy will lead us in another song. I'll play another song for us. My Jesus, I Love Thee, a very familiar song, well-known and very meaningful for many people. Again, ask that you listen along silently or hum quietly as we go. Would invite you to please pray with me now. Loving God, we belong to you, body and soul, in life and in death. Nothing can steal us away from you. Nothing can separate us from your love. You knew us from before we were born, and you're with us through to the very end of our days here on earth. And you welcome us home when it's time. God, we thank you for this day today, this day that looks so different from the way it has so many other years. We ask that you bless our time together all the same, as we hear each name and remember each of these, your children, as we listen to these songs and hear your word read, and as your servant speaks. God, help us to hold steady in these unsettled times. We pray for our province and our country, as numbers rise and we watch lockdowns come into effect again. God, we pray for wise decisions made at the right time. We pray that people will continue to care for another in this crisis and not turn to conflict or recklessness or self-interest. God, we pray for families who continue to be impacted in so many ways by this all. We pray especially for those living alone and those in places of care. We pray for those who continue to work, go out to work and work on the front lines. Be with them. We find our strength in you, God. It's in you that we find our hope. And we find solace and support in one another today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Trudy will now play Nothing Is Lost on the Breath of God.
Morning. As a Christian faith community, we believe Jesus died, was buried, raised to new life, and ascended to heaven, from where one day he will return. Having experienced the death of loved ones, we grieve our loss, yet with thankfulness for their life, love, and faith, we entrust their resurrection to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we grieve, but not as those who have no hope for eternal life. This morning we want to share in remembrance of those who have died in the past year. And as names are mentioned, family or friends, invite you to stand just briefly while the name of your loved one is mentioned, and then you can be seated again. And together we will reflect on the faith and life shared and the relationships for us that have changed. The names this morning are called in the chronological order of their passing. And so we share these names, and apologies if some of the family relationships are missing. As you can surmise, there are quite a number of people within our faith community who've been affected by this. And so we begin. Nellie Epp, the sister-in-law of Erna Schrader. Abraham Neufeld, husband of Helen and father. Anne Marie Porter, mother of Peter, Kathleen, Margaret, and John. Erna Andres, mother of Linda and Rudy. Kay Karasak, mother of Randy and Rhonda. Ann Rempel, sister of Ed Berg. Margarita Adams Miller, mother of Carolyn Copeland. Grandmother. Great-grandmother. Helen Suderman, mother of Frank, John, and Wally. David Abrams, brother-in-law of Lane and Rudy Reimer. Katie Epp, the sister-in-law of Erna Schrader. Margaret Wall, mother of Kathy Wilkes and Janet Zappa. Maria Rempel, sister of Rita Hildebrandt and Jake Hildebrandt. Veronica Tan, sister of Rita Harder. One that we don't have a photo of this morning, Henry Braun, brother of Bill Braun. Annalisa Wheeler, mother of Ted Wheeler. Anne Marie Brenham, mother of Marion Heide. Mike DeFabio, husband of Vicky, son-in-law of Herta Suskin, brother-in-law of Ingrid and Bill Secord. Lydia Lane, sister of Nellie Rempel. Helen Stanko, mother of Linda Stanko. David Epp Stovey, former pastor of St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church and husband of Eleanor. Elizabeth Penner, sister-in-law of Irma Meyer and niece of Cornelius and Margaret Penner. Patty Weeb, wife of Ben Weeb, former pastor of St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church, and welcome here again, Ben. Blessings to you. James Adams, husband of Kathy Adams. Siegfried Wagner, son of Jürgen and Jutta Wagner. Irma Epp, mother of Jerry and Nancy Epp and Ken and Karen Epp. Frank Thiessen, brother of Peter Thiessen. Irmgard Augstein, sister of Kurt Heidebrecht. Lindy DeSantis, daughter of Johanna Fast and sister of Rosie Rankin. Helga Thiessen, daughter of Mary Martel. Daniel Welk, husband of Ermi. Yeah. Herbert Kernelsen, father of Doug Kernelsen, in the balcony. The flowers in front traditionally are handed out as families come forward, but this morning we ask that the flowers will be in the foyer at the end of the service and be shared, and so feel free to receive one at that time. In remembrance, I invite you to share in the litany that will be on the screen. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Gracious God, we thank you for the gifts of love and the sharing of faith with those whom we have named before you. As we remember their journey here on earth, help us to entrust them to your eternal care. God watches over us and longs for our healing and grieves with us in our pain of loss. In the quiet moments when we miss our loved ones most, help us to stay close to Jesus, who guides us through this life. And when we lose sight of Jesus, send us your Holy Spirit to help us find our way until we meet again in heaven. May God himself, the God of peace, make you whole and holy. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be fit and ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, for all the joys and love of life, we give you thanks for those with whom we have shared. For all the pain and sorrows of grief, we turn to you for comfort and healing. Because of Jesus Christ, in this life and in the next, we have hope of resurrection and of meeting you and our loved ones once again. As we entrust these loved ones named before you and those named in our hearts, we entrust them to your care and empower us by your Holy Spirit to resist the evil one, that we might serve our Lord Jesus Christ in this life with joy and peace. Amen. For these days in particular, I don't mind repeating again, as you probably do, find these annoying, and pray for the day when we don't have to use them again. But in the meantime, the screen here and the masks that we wear when we're close to each other are measures to help keep each other healthy and safe. Just an interesting note about masks before I begin. My wife Renata was telling me about something she had seen, and it sort of resonated with me in terms of some aviation things. Long before GPS in airplanes, during the Second World War, bombers relied on lights from the villages at night to navigate. And so when the village said, "Everyone turn your lights off at night, close your windows, don't let any light out," guess what happened to the one village person who said, "I have a right to have my lights on at night"? Perhaps a more significant one is one that I've been thinking about lately. We know that the virus is airborne. And I don't know about you, but every once in a while, previously certainly, but sometimes even now, you know how you walk past someone and you have a scent, be it perfume or maybe something else, but you smell it. That's how the virus travels. It's airborne. And so all the more importance for us these days to have our masks ready to prevent that virus from traveling. And so as difficult as these measures are, we do that to protect one another. And these days it is so very important. Today marks the end of the Christian calendar year. It doesn't get much highlight in popular culture these days, but certainly for those of us who pay attention to things, it's no surprise. Eternity Sunday ends the Christian year because First Advent, that we will acknowledge next Sunday, begins a new year of anticipation and hope. And certainly we need that these days more than ever. But we recognize today the special relationships that we have had with those who have gone on before us. The reading today is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And in his introduction to Ephesians, Pastor Eugene Peterson writes, Paul's letter to the Ephesians joins together what has been torn apart in our sin-wrecked world. He begins with an exuberant exploration of what Christians believe about God, and then, like a surgeon skillfully setting a compound fracture, sets this belief in God into our behavior before God, so that the bones of belief and behavior are knit together and healed. The passage, verses 15 to 23 of chapter 1, is really, in the original Greek language, it's all one sentence. I won't try and read it that way. I'd run out of breath. But it's a flowing thought of Paul's prayer for the Christians at Ephesus, people he knows and dearly loves. And so as you hear this passage, this prayer, think of it as listening in. As a community for us, we're eavesdropping on the Apostle Paul as he shares with these Christians his prayer for them. And as Christians who gather here, let us hear this prayer as though it is also spoken for us. Ephesians chapter 1. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I share again with you from verse 16. I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. While these words are addressed to the living, in my meditation and hearing, it sweeps me beyond the horizon to include remembrance of those who have gone before us. This morning, I know that many of you, most of you gathered here, are remembering the faith and love, the human nature and the divine gift of those who have shared deeply in your lives and gone before you. In my office down the hall here, but also in my home office, I have photographs on the wall of my parents and family members. These visual reminders help me to keep in mind the relationships and the influence they've had upon my life, for which I often pray and give thanks for the gift that they have been to me. There are times or situations when I recognize certain behavior or mannerism which stems from the influence that these people have had on my life. And yes, I would even have to admit that at times, thankful for the quirkiness, which I recognize as a family trait. And at core, I just thank God when I remember these people. I acknowledge that not all families have been so blessed. But I believe it is important to remember those who have gone before us and the impact they've had on our lives. And so our prayers before God include thanksgiving, confession, and requests for healing and hope. There are many forms of prayer. In his book simply entitled Prayer, Richard Foster describes 21 different forms our prayers can take. And while somewhat of an academic description of these variations of prayer with God, Foster delves deep into the heartfelt conversations we have with God. Simple prayer, prayer of tears, prayer of rest, healing prayer, radical prayer, and such. The one form, although I suspect there are others, but the one form I found missing in Foster's descriptions is the prayer of remembrance. In a number of his letters to Christians, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament tells of how much he remembers others in his prayers. An example, 2 Timothy 1, I thank God whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Paul connects the past with the present, with an aim of looking to the future. And so today, we pray, we remember with thankfulness those who have died. And let us also pray with thankfulness for those with whom we live and have our being. When I remember my parents, my older brother, and in the photograph above before you, my aunt and uncle, those who have died, I pray with thankfulness. And in remembering their faith, remembering the challenges they faced throughout their life, I begin to think and pray about today and the living, for us who need God's strength and courage, need God's wisdom for the living of these particular days. Those we remember in prayer. The prayer of Apostle Paul is not what you might normally expect from a prayer. Although the Christians of Ephesus lived in a culture hostile to Christianity, Paul doesn't pray for God to protect them. Although some of the Ephesians likely were sick, poor, Paul doesn't pray for their healing or for their financial stability. Although some of them may have been wrestling with sadness or hurts, Paul doesn't pray for them to be happy. What Paul prays for is much deeper than the normal prayers we expect. Consider what the Apostle Paul is saying as we eavesdrop on the conversation he has with the Christian Ephesians. Paul prays, "They are a people who know Jesus, people who support one another as a people of God, a body of God. They're in a culture and an economy which was based on slavery. For Paul to pray that Christians know they belong to God, I suspect while some heads were bowed in prayer, they may have raised some eyebrows at that comment. Your master is Jesus and God." Having lived with these people for a period of time, Paul prays for them to genuinely seek God's wisdom for how they live. And as a people who long for God's sightings in their daily experience, Paul is asking them to affirm God's presence in all they do. Paul understands his dear Christian friends in Ephesus have become discouraged, disheartened about the kingdom of God. And so he's praying for them to be grounded in a hope that keeps the vision of eternity in sight while they live in the present circumstances. Paul knows this hope will keep them going with a long-range view of life and life eternal. He knows they've tasted the resurrection of Jesus, and it's Jesus who will give them the strength to carry on. Are you eavesdropping? Hearing what comes from Scripture for you? Paul's firsthand experience with Jesus gave him the certainty of conviction that as Christians stay together as a church, they share in faith and they act in love, which becomes the ultimate power of God at work in the world. Paul's prayer is no normal, ordinary prayer. And so as we pause, even so briefly, to remember in prayer those who've gone before us, we once again join with them in a walk of faith. When we pause ever so briefly to remember in prayer those whom we live with, those who we have our being in the community, our places of work, our homes, we join with them in a walk of faith. Those we remember in prayer, even those prayers that are just a brief word or two we think and hold before God. I shared earlier when we read Paul's prayer, we're listening in, we're eavesdropping on this conversation with God. While prayer is deeply personal conversation, you've probably heard prayers of others, not just the ones we share here at the church in our worship service. I ask you to think and reflect, ponder on those moments you've listened to prayers of others. What has been the impact that has had on your life? It might have been as a child, listening to the prayer of a parent. And there I so often think of prayers of my mother and hearing her. Perhaps a prayer significant for you has been that of a spouse. Or it might have been a stranger. What prayers do you remember as significant, life-changing? How has that given you the courage and strength, the hope to carry on? As we share as a faith community, we so desperately need that for these days. Many of our favorite hymns, thank you, Trudy, for leading us, even while we can't verbalize it ourselves, we can reflect on it. But so many of our hymns, if you follow the words, they're actually prayer poems written by other faithful Christians and shared with the larger community, set to music. And what we miss so much in our worship these days is our singing prayer time together. While the Apostle Paul's prayer for Ephesians is not one we would normally expect, it draws us deeper into the character and behavior of Jesus as he speaks about what God's kingdom and what God's eternity is all about. If someone's listening to your prayers, kind of eavesdropping, not like those electronic devices that some people have in their homes, you know, that listen to everything. Be cautious of those. Sometimes wonder about what our grandson hears and then repeats in a different context. I could tell you a few stories about that one, but that's okay. If someone's listening and eavesdropping in on your prayer conversations, what are they hearing about your faith? About your faith and trust in God. And so I invite us in this coming week, as we hold before God the concerns of heart, to focus not on the warm, fuzzy feelings, but inviting God's active love to be at work in our lives, in our community, for the sake of hope and healing for all. For those we remember in prayer, we pray for the desire to know Jesus, to have the motivation to support one another with the conviction of belonging to God, with the invitation of God's wisdom to guide our relationships, and our longing to live in this world with the sight of eternity on the horizon. May God give us strength to that end. Amen. Ask that you please be seated. as we close off the service, just to invite you to take your time leaving. We would ask that those who need assistance to please wait, and the ushers will guide you out. If we all leave at once, we'll be too congested, so we need to do it a bit slower than usual. Ask that the ushers begin on this side of the sanctuary, and you'll exit to the outside aisles, and so this side will dismiss first, and then invite this side, and then following that, those who need assistance will be helped out. For those of you who have had family members recognized, Olga and Liz are at the back to share a flower with you as you leave. Just present yourself to them, and they will share that with you. Invite you to bow as we share in the benediction prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for this time of worship, in the time of days when we so desperately long to be together as a faith community, when we so desperately long to see our neighbors and friends and family members, to be able to hug and greet one another as we share our love and conviction towards each other. Guide and direct us for health and safety. And now, as we leave from this time of worship, may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loves us and gives us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and word. Amen.